Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast.
Hey there, ladies and gents, and welcome to this episode of the Sophisticated Property Investment Podcast with me, your host, Frank Flegg. And today, it has been a long time since you were last on the podcast, but we also have...
Maddie Norwich.
Maddie, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us again. And guys, I feel like I sometimes am a bit heavy on the strategy of property investing, the psychology of sophisticated investing. And sometimes we do a deep dive into the actual tactics, the what to do and how to do it in really detail. The reason I have invited Maddie onto this podcast is we have just spent best part of 2 days, we got another day to go, driving around a portfolio and raising the rents in line with market rent across an entire portfolio, 30 odd properties in a certain part of the country. And it has been a masterclass in how to build rapport, how to communicate what can sometimes be huge rental increases, you know, £100 on a £450 rent that hasn't moved in 10 years. And so, Maddie, I'd love you to talk us through how you approach this, because I imagine people listening would say, oh, that'd be a horrible job. You know, we're going to see 30 plus properties and everyone we've got to go and ask to put the rent up. How do you do it? You're smiling now. We're between houses. We've just got a little lull. I reckon we've done, well, you'll know exactly how many we've done. But how come you're smiling? How come you're actually enjoying this? And I have to admit, I was dreading this 3 days, but I'm having a great time too. And I do also love adding up the money that we're raising the rents by. So Maddie, tell me the psychology behind it.
Yeah, sure. So I think approaching these rent review meetings for me is partly about really wanting to make sure that people can stay in their homes for longer. So yesterday we visited a tenant who'd been in their home since 1969 and right through to tenants today who've just been in 1 or 2 years. But security of tenure is something that I really love to provide to people. And so helping people understand that actually as landlords, we need to take really good care of the property so that they can stay there long term. There's nothing worse than a tenant who's really fed up with the condition of the property, so much so that then they move out quite often, because if that's the case and the property's in really poor condition, we've then got to spend a lot of money on it before we can relet it. So it's much better in my mind to work with the tenants that you've got, even if that means raising the rents. So what I really look forward to in rent raising meetings is a brilliant opportunity to meet the tenants, for me to meet them, to get to know them a bit better, but also for them to meet me, or us in this case, and for them to be reassured that we're genuine people, that we're bothered about them and their circumstances, that we're interested in them. So I like the opportunity to meet with them. I like the opportunity to help them understand the mechanics of actually home ownership and the pressures that we are under and that we experience, and how we can give them security of tenure if we manage really well, which includes giving rent raises and keeping rents in line with market rents. And so I'm really comfortable with explaining all of that to tenants in such a way that they get it, they understand it, and they quite often, well, some of them have agreed to raises even above what, you know, what I thought we'd be able to achieve, because they've understood what we're saying to them, and they want to stay, and they understand that actually we're a team in this together for the sake of their home.
I think that phrase, you know, we're a team, we've said that a few times today, haven't we? And I think that's really, really powerful, for sure. There's a few parts to this. So the first part is, we've now done this on 2 portfolios that we've purchased. I think the total number of properties across the 2 portfolios is something like 58, I want to say, in total. And those portfolios, both of those were quite mature portfolios, in as much as the vendors that sold them to us had them a large number of years. What has been your experience with your ability to raise the rents on those? Like, what kind of numbers have you been looking at? Because I think that's really relevant. So what kind of percentage increases? What were the original rents? What are the new rents? How many tenants do you lose? You know, I imagine most people listening to this will think, think, yeah, well, if you put the rents up too much, you'll lose tenants, and I can't afford to do that. Well, I have to say that was one of my concerns. By the end of today, we'll have seen, well, right now, I think, how many have we seen? How many people have we seen the last? So 11 yesterday and 8 so far today. So that's 19 tenants. I think there's a zero chance of any of those leaving because of the rent rises. They might, you know, you'd expect one to perhaps leave in the next 12 months. And I imagine that, you know, then people will think, well, you must only be inching the rents up, but we're not at all. So can you share some of the numbers, please?
Yeah, sure. So there was one portfolio where there's 26 properties where we raised the rents on those last year. The typical increases on those were around 40% because many of those had not had a rent increase in over 10 years, and many of them were really long-term tenants. And so we're talking about people paying sort of $350 when the rent should be really $650 or $690 even. The biggest one of those was one lady who was paying $350 and really market rent should have been $1,000 and we raised to $800. So that was, you know, basically double for her. And so this last 24 hours now. It's been a long couple of days. Yeah, 36 hours. We've typically been, well, we've kind of set our target on an average of £100 a house, but I think we're probably hitting an average of about between 15 and 20% raise. The smallest raise we've done has been £25, and I kind of think we maybe could have sent a letter to that one, but for all the reasons I said before, I'm really glad that we went to meet with the tenant. And the biggest raise we've done on this one so far has been a 50% raise where we've added 217 where somebody was paying 233. So those are the kind of increases that we're achieving.
Absolutely. And I think the average we've worked out is about 124. So a rise of £124 on 32 properties. Well, that's huge. That's my maths was better. I'd be able to work it out. But £3,500, £3,700. So it's pretty substantial across a portfolio. One thing to mention is we're also, and regular listeners will be aware of our educational concept of layers of icing on a cake. And so in every property we're saying, right, what are the opportunities here, right? We could extend to the side, we could extend to the rear. We actually spotted a smart housing benefit tenancy where current rent being paid, well, perhaps you should talk us through it, Maddie. I can't remember the numbers.
Yeah, current rent being paid is 467 on what's a 4-bedroom, 2-reception room house. And there's a kind of a multi-generational family living there. So you've got mum of the house is living there with her 4 sons. Three of the sons are, well, all 4 sons are over 18. The 18-year-old is in employment, and 3 other sons who are above 18 are all benefit claimants. And so at the moment, the mum is struggling really hard to pay a rent of 476 when really the rent should be 700. But actually, we can operate that as a smart housing benefit and get each of the sons who are claiming benefit to make a claim. They will each be able to claim around 350, I think it is. The mum will still be able to claim a 1-bedroom rate, which would drop a little bit to 450, but we've worked out that we could then shift from making 470 a month up to 1400 a month on that one.
Wow, £1,000 increase per month without the tenant actually paying any more, just by claiming the benefits that they're entitled to and structuring the tenancy of the property to maximize those rents. Which, by the way, if you're wondering, you know, oh, is that right? Yeah, our job is to make as much profit as possible in our business. So if a tenant is living in your house or tenants are living in your house and you're able to charge them more rent and they're able to claim that rent legitimately through Universal Credit, then absolutely that's your entitlement. So wow, so £124 average per property, and you know, some really chunky ones in there as well, which is brilliant. It doesn't do, and we've talked about this before, it doesn't do the tenants any favors to leave them substantially below market value, because at some point your portfolio will become unsustainable. So interest rates will go up, or you won't be able to do maintenance, and environmental health will get involved. You know, it's not a healthy way to run your business. And when that happens, the tenants lose their home. You're repossessed, or the tenants move out. But the trouble is, when they move out, they can't afford anything else because they're paying substantially below market rent. So everything else on the market, they're priced out of. So by incrementally, even the £25 and the £50 a month increases, which we're doing annually. Last time we were here doing this was about a year ago, wasn't it? So just over a year ago. So we're now doing our next annual increases. We've just been chatting before we started this about how it's actually a sales process, isn't it? It's a sales, like, you don't walk in and go, right, we're putting your rent up to, you know, by £100 a month. And neither do you write them a letter. And that's really important. We don't write them a letter going, oh, your rent's going from £450 to £550, because that's going to really damage our relationships with our clients. They're our clients at the end of the day. So can you talk us through the psychology and the salesmanship, I guess, Maddie, of, because everyone's like, people have been saying thank you for coming and lovely to meet you, like you're chuckling, but they really are, like, they're grateful. And like, I was working out our hourly rate for these 3 days. Well, it's £1,000 an hour task stuff, because we're raising, yes, £3,700 per month for the portfolio, but that's £3,700 every month. You know, it's huge hourly rate. You know, those, some of those tenants will be in for 5 years. And if you do it every year, then it compounds, because you can add more on top next year to stay in line with market rent. So what are the mechanics or the pertinent points, Maddie, of that sales process from when you, or we've got an employee that does this for us, books in with the tenants and books them in and arranges the visit, to what do you say when you walk through the front door, what paperwork do you do? You know, we're with them for about 15 minutes, aren't we? So how does that work?
Yeah, we do quite a lot of preparation in advance for these meetings. So the appointments are made by our local manager here up in the, we're up in the northeast this couple of days. So she's made appointments with all the tenants and they've contacted her to confirm. So they're confirmed appointments that suit the tenants at a time that works for them, apart from the one that hadn't got it and they let us in anyway, and we had a lovely time with them too. And so then in preparation for the meeting, what I've done is I have a pack for each property that has like a rental comparisons report on. I mean, 9 times out of 10 you won't have seen me use them, but I've got that there because I don't want the tenants to feel like I'm just plucking a number out of thin air and telling them that that's what I want them to pay. You know, I'm genuinely going on market rent, and I think that's critically important, particularly when you're doing such significant rent rises. If you're asking for £25 or £50, perhaps you don't need to do that, but when you're reviewing something that hasn't had a rent review for like maybe 5, 7, 10 years, you definitely need that data. And the reason for that is because you can, it's just the data. I'm not saying it, it just is the reality, the facts of the situation. And I think that's one really critical point that helps you create that, helps me create that kind of team approach with the tenant. And also I think we also prepare a pack with 2 rent increase notices so that we can agree it with the tenant in the room. We do 2 copies of that, leave the tenant one and take one away, because then I can just hand this folder to my PA when I get home. She can scan all of those in and that's it, we're done. Nothing needs mailing out or anything like that. It's all job done in these few days. I also take a letter, which we haven't used as yet, and I take a letter that enables us to give a gentleman's agreement for a graduated rent rise. So let's say, for example, that we meet one of these tenants and they explain to us that they can afford to pay rent because in 2 months' time they're getting some more hours at work, or somebody in their family is going to be able to contribute, or they can afford to pay a little bit more when the bills are a bit less in summer. So I take a pre-prepared letter that says, okay, we've agreed for your rent increase. It's going to start on the 1st of March if I'm giving it today. But we also have this side agreement that is me saying I totally understand that for the next 2 months, because it's cold up here in the northeast, your bills are going to be a bit more expensive and you just need a little bit of help to get to that rent raise that we've discussed. So I might say, okay, the overall rent rise is £100, but in the first month of the rise you just pay £25 extra, in the second month you pay £50, and in the third you pay £75, and by month 4 you're up to £100. So I take that template into every single appointment, just so it gives me options sometimes, because it's so much better to reach an agreement when you're in front of someone. And I'm sure, Frank, you say a lot on your podcast that you should only ever negotiate face to face. And this is a negotiation. So I want to have with me all of the tools that enable me to finish that negotiation. When we arrive at the property, well, my aim is to be brilliant friends with these people by the time I leave. And I think you'll agree that's been your experience of them so far. And so we just want to be on their level. So we think about what we're wearing. We don't want to be turning up in flashy suits or dress that's going to make us seem like somebody formal. We just want to be able to identify with the tenants in whatever way we can. That means we change our language. So I'm not interested in using any jargon. I'm trying to explain any relevant terminology to just demystify everything for them. And then I'm looking to build rapport. And I'm sure you talk about building rapport plenty on your podcast every time you do it, Frank. So we're looking to build rapport with them. So we're looking for points of commonality between us and them. So we're just using evidence that there is in the room. If they've got kids, we talk about kids, or if their kids are, they've got, you know, whatever medals or trophies or yachts or whatever it is around the room, we're just looking for points of commonality. And when we spent a little bit of time doing that, then I just explain the purpose of our visit. And I explain that by helping them understand what's going on in the sense of a bigger picture. You know, there are multiple factors involved in this. We've got a mortgage to pay on the property, and the mortgage lender wants to be confident that we're really good landlords. Part of how they will assess that is how the rents are set. And when we seek to remortgage these, it's really critical that rents are up at market rent. And I just explained that to the tenants, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to look after the property really well so that they can stay in it for the long term. It can be their long-term home.
You're listening to the Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast with Frank Flegg. If you enjoy this content, why not follow Frank's TikTok, where you'll get loads of bite-sized investing tips. Just search TikTok for Frank Flegg. That's Frank, FLEGG.
Before you go on, Maddie, on a couple of bits there. The first thing is, just like when we meet a vendor who's potentially going to sell their property, we sit down on their front on their sofa in their front room and have a chat with them. And probably half the time you've had to ask that, and you said, is there somewhere where we can sit? And probably 25% of the time they make us a cup of tea and we have a real chat, and that's almost breaking bread and having a chat. The last house we were in, they started talking about Liverpool and how their kid loves Liverpool Football Club, and my son loves Liverpool and has not been to Anfield, and their son has, and they're both 10, and there's all of that. And also, when you are having that, building that rapport with them and talking about, or after you've built the rapport and you're talking about the mortgage lenders, you do an exceptional job, Maddie, having heard it 19 times now. You do an exceptional job of us and them. So it makes complete sense to a tenant that you need to keep the mortgage lender happy. It makes complete sense that the mortgage lender wants to make sure that you're charging enough rent to pay the mortgage. It makes complete sense that the mortgage lender wants you to be a good landlord, and it makes complete sense to the tenant that good landlords charge market rents. And one of the things you say, which I love, is, so market rent would be what you would pay if you moved out of this house and wanted to rent one the same nearby. And that takes away that objection of, I'm putting your rent up. The first thing they're going to think is, well, should I stay or should I go? And you're saying to them, if you go, you're not using these exact words, but the message loud and clear is, if you go, the market, you will have to pay the market rent, which is all we're working towards. And the final thing I've observed before I give back to you, Maddie, is you don't tell them what the rent is. You don't say, so if it's $450 a month that they're paying and market rent is $625, you don't say, so I'm going to need to put your rent up to $175, and perhaps you can talk us through what you do actually say, because it's so gentle. And so many of them, because you've got them to that, and we're talking about 10 minutes of rapport building, right? We're walking through the door, sitting on their sofa and having a chit chat, and after 10 minutes, so many of them, like an astoundingly high percentage, are saying, well, I could afford that. Like they want to please, which is, and I think if you were to go in stronger and say, so I'm so sorry, this is what your rent's got to go up by, A, you're telling and not giving an option. You give them an option, which is brilliant, but B, you're like apologizing. But why apologize? This, an employee doesn't say, I'm so sorry, but I need you to pay my wages this month. You know, that's how it works. You get your pay packet and you do your work, and you're both happy, employer and employee. Well, landlord and tenant, that's the way it works. Everyone knows we've had high inflation. Everyone knows everything's going up. Sorry to interject, but really those are things I've noticed where I've gone, that is world class. That's why you're good at this.
I say to them, you know, you're currently paying whatever they're paying. Let's say they're paying $450 and market rent is $650. So I say, you know, we're £200 away from where we need to be. Are you able to pay the £200? And so I'm not asking them for $650, I'm asking them for £200. Obviously we know they're already paying the $450. And then I try my hardest to just leave it and see what they say. And you have to assess that in the moment a little bit, and you have to hold your nerve and wait for them to respond. And yeah, you're right, 9 times out of 10 they're saying we can afford that. And if they're saying we can't afford that, actually then they come back to you with something that they can afford, and that's the basis on which to move forwards. And it's also worth saying that at this point, you know, loads of these tenants that we've seen the last 36 hours, they're doing major, they're behaving like homeowners. They're not behaving like tenants, and they're looking after these houses really well. And so I want to really respect that in how we're handling them. And I want to really, we do our best to, you know, compliment them. And it's been an easy job to do these last 2 days because they're genuinely doing a really good job. They're decorating, they're perhaps replacing carpets and things like that. They're looking after their homes really well. And so we have that whole conversation with them. And then whilst we're there, actually, we do want to take the opportunity to look around the house, and that is a bit more time. You know, now we've agreed this raise and what it's going to be, actually we want to sort of top up that emotional bank account again, having made a bit of a withdrawal after we've negotiated this rent rise. We want to top it up so that when we leave, the last thing we've done is not the rent raise, but we've looked around and we've appreciated their home and we've thanked them for their hospitality. And the rent raise has come in the middle, if you like, in a bit of a rapport or a relational sandwich. And I think that's really important part of it. I also am really careful to make sure I talk them through the form. So, you know, lots of our tenants may not have ever seen a rent increase notice form before. And it's a bit of a, you know, funny document, isn't it? The first page you fill in and the rest of the pages are a lot of words. The rest of the pages are a lot of words. And so I just talk them through that and explain what's on there and why it's on there and leave that with them and take our copy away and go back to the car and write down our layers of icing and anything we've spotted in the house that needs doing. One other thing to say is quite a lot of the tenants raise maintenance issues while we're with them. Part of raising rents and being at market rent is so that there is cash in the bank to be able to do repairs and things as they come up. And we're working really hard to manage the expectations of our tenants about when those will be done. So this has been an undercharged portfolio, and we're trying to get it, you know, in the black and then profitable. And so we're taking a note of those things that be done, but we're also explaining to the tenants that situation, that actually this portfolio has been loss making. We need to get it profit making. And then absolutely, we're going to make a note of all of those things and we're going to prioritize them. And so they can be assured that we will get to those things, but there are going to be some that are more critical and others that are less critical, and just managing their expectations about when those things will happen. But yeah, that's it for me. It's a bit of a rapport relational rent increase notice sandwich.
Thanks, Maddie. Really, really valuable. So just a couple of final things to wrap up with really on this, because if we're in this industry, we have tenants and we want our tenants to be long term. So we're going to have to raise the rents if they're in for over a year. You can do this once a year. When we've sat down and raised the rents and agreed the rental rise, we have been saying to people, it's, you know, end of January. Don't worry, we're not going to put it up in February. We'll put it up from and whatever their rental date is in March. And it's important to know that. It's important to know what they're paying currently. It's important to know the date of the day of the month that they pay. And so it makes it feel like we're being really accommodating. Now, obviously, legally, we need to give them 1 month's clear notice. But that just, you know, adds to that emotional bank account that you were talking about, Maddie. And I think that really works well. The other thing is to be a sophisticated landlord, not a traditional landlord. So a traditional landlord looks at what other properties are worth from a rental perspective and wants his property to be at that point or higher. We don't. We look at the tenant's situation and we recognize that a tenant, like one of our tenants, had been in for over 50 years. Like their son had been born in the property and their son was there in their 40s. That's unbelievable. Like that's the kind of tenant that, you know, the profit per decade on that tenant, on that property, because that tenant hasn't moved out and moved back in, is really high. So it's not about maximum rent. It's about the tenant's longevity in that property at a high enough rent for it to be a win-win. And one thing that I really like you doing, Maddie, and I really like watching you do, is you're really good at working out their situation. So before you broach rent, you ask if they're working, you ask if they're in receipt of benefits, you find out who's living in the property. By the way, it's a really good opportunity to add adults to the tenancy agreement who are clearly living in the property. That gives us more security as a landlord, obviously. But if someone's in receipt of benefits, you check. And one of the things that Maddie hasn't mentioned, but she takes with her into every appointment, is what are the local authority housing allowances for different entitlements in that local authority. So if we're in a house, it might be a 3-bedroom house, but it might be a mum with her teenage daughter, for example. Well, they're only going to be eligible for a 2-bed rate. So it's kind of irrelevant. And if neither of them work, it's kind of irrelevant what 3 bedrooms are renting for. It depends on what the 2-bed rate is. But equally, are we charging rent at what the 2-bed rate is? Like, has the 2-bed rate gone up recently? Obviously, we know in April this year that LHA rates are being reviewed upwards generally quite substantially. We've seen that in some areas that's £100 increase, which is 20-25% in these areas. So we're making sure that if someone's on benefits, we put their rent up by at least that much, so that, because it's not going to cost them a penny, they couldn't care less, but we're entitled to that extra rent. So I like how you're looking at, you know, the tenant's ability to pay, but also the government's ability to pay based on the entitlement of the tenants in the house and also the entitlement of the property itself. So yeah, it's been an eye-opener for me, Maddie. You are very, very good at it. And as I like to say, every day is a school day, and certainly the last 2 days have been. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real, quite a short episode, but a real deep dive on how to raise rent effectively, and how to get your tenants on side and to build that rapport and relationship with them. And I have to admit, guys, I was chatting to Maddie earlier, this is £1,000 an hour task. Yeah, this isn't something you want to outsource by, you know, writing letters, because, you know, what letter is going to build enough rapport to raise rents by £100? It's just going to create a distance between you and the tenant. It's going to create animosity. And so absolutely great to see it in person, and well worth the investment of time, 100% worth the investment of time. So before I wrap up, guys, if you have questions on this, our TikTok account, frank.flegg is the handle on TikTok, is flying. It is rocking and rolling. And if you want to go over to TikTok and ask any questions about any of our podcast episodes, a great platform for you to ask me questions, and I love answering them. The team pick out the best questions and I create podcasts on there. Our most recent our most recent content on TikTok has been viewed over 250,000 times, and that, by the way, is a little piece of content on how you can have your kids start investing in property with fractional ownership. So how your kids can buy 1%, 2% shares in the properties you own. So if you're interested in that, if you want to ask me questions, if you want to have a bit of a dialogue, then we would love to hear from you over on TikTok, frank.flegg. Until next time, happy investing.
Sophisticated property investing. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing now.